Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Neugeman. Right now, our guest is a returning guest, Dr. Paul Kanger. He is a professor at Grove City College. He is a blogger and has written all kinds of great articles. He's also a best-selling author, and he's written a handful of books about Ronald Reagan, some books about communism. And what is your most recent book, Dr. Kanger?
Well, so I have one called The Divine Plan.
Oh, yes.
The Divine Plan. And that's on Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II. And that has a film that goes with it.
Yes.
Called The Divine Plan. In fact, people listening right now, next week, November 6th, is the one night showing all across the country. 800, maybe 1,000 theaters.
Wow.
And so if you go to the website, www.thedivineplanmovie.com, this is a truly great faith-based documentary film on Ronald Reagan, John Paul II, and how these men considered God's plan in their lives and for their teams at the Reagan White House and at the Vatican in order to take down and defeat atheistic Soviet communism.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably anyone listening, Jerry, if you go to that website, you will find theaters near you. I promise you.
Yes. And it'll be out on DVD as well.
That's
you know,
right.
And,
that's
or other
right.
ways in which you can stream it and so forth. So that's excellent.
Yeah.
And that with all
but
that,
I would tell people that it's important to understand, if there's a good turnout on Wednesday, November 6th, then these theaters, Cinemax, Regal, AMC, they'll order the film for another week. But if they don't, if there isn't a good turnout, you know what they'll say, Jerry? They'll say, just like we thought, these conservative Christians always tell us that people want to see these conservative films and everything. Well, look, they don't. So, you know, this is why we need to keep making movies about people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right? Because that's what the people want to see, right? These conservative troglodytes, they tell us all the time how discriminated against they are. And then we give them a movie, we put in 1,000 theaters, and none of them show up. What a bunch of hicks and hayseeds. And then they don't support films like this.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we don't show up and you know, plunk down $10, then, you know, then we deserve Hollywood's negative image of us. You know, what do you want? So
yeah.
I would urge people, go out and look, get off your butt and go watch a good film.
and by the way, you're very prominent in the film. I saw it and I even wrote a column about it, recommending it.
I know you
so
did.
Yes.
Your column was really good. I thought it was one of the most insightful reviews of it. And I'm one of 14 people interviewed, along with people like Doug Brinkley, George Weigel, Bishop Robert Barron, Ann Applebaum. It's an amazing all-star cast. John O'Sullivan, who wrote the book on Reagan, John Paul II, and Margaret Thatcher. It's really impressive work. And, you know, you don't usually see this kind of artistry in documentary filmmaking.
And the bottom line is that Ronald Reagan, a man of faith in the Presbyterian tradition, saw in Pope John Paul II, you know, in effect, you know, a man that also loved God and loved freedom, and together they were able to bring down the communists in Poland, which then, of course, had a ripple effect. So that is a very important point. And God was, you know, the orchestrator.
It's the 30th anniversary of it right now. It was the Berlin Wall fell 30 years ago.
Wow.
And,
1989. Yeah, that's right.
1989.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
It's good for young people, especially in a time when millennials are saying that communism is good.
Mm.
It's good for them to see films like this and see, wow, these guys killed people. They were bad dudes.
Yeah.
And so our young people don't know this, which is why we need to reach them through media like films.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about your most recent column. You wrote an article, and we have a link to it, and it's the title of the article is Taking Pride in Down Syndrome Children. And you noted that this article will probably not be played in Iceland.
That's exactly right. In fact, it's in Iceland where they're now boasting, Jerry, that they've eliminated Down syndrome. They've eliminated Down syndrome. And you hear that and you're like, wow, what have they done? A magic pill? Some kind of special surgery in the womb? Some sort of chromosomal engineering? What have they done? And what they've done is that they've so created a culture that embraces abortion, and they've so thoroughly identified Down syndrome in the womb that they've created a culture in Iceland where almost 100% of moms who receive a prenatal diagnosis of a Down syndrome child abort that child. There's a population of about 330,000 in the country, and only one or two Down syndrome children are born a year. And mainly, Jerry, they're estimating that those are from people who had a failed prenatal diagnosis. Otherwise, they might have aborted those one or two as well. So it's quite tragic that their solution for Down syndrome is, to borrow from Joseph Stalin, who said, "Death solves all problems. No man, no problem." Their solution is death solves all Down syndrome, right? No child, no problem. Abort the child, and then you don't have the problem of Down syndrome. It's pretty sad.
And you talk in the article on a positive note about some children that you saw employed, or maybe these were young adults that have Down syndrome. Tell us about that.
Yeah, what inspired me to write this piece, it's posted in American Spectator, and it's for Down Syndrome Awareness Month, which is what October was. And it's also Right to Life Month for some religious people. But my family and I, we live not that far from Hershey, Pennsylvania, probably about 4 hours. And anytime we drive through the state to go east or whatever, we try to stop at Chocolate World. And Chocolate World is this chocolate lover's paradise in Hershey, PA. You get on these self-guided vehicles, and they drive you through this exhibit, flashy videos, loud music, and it shows you how Hershey's chocolate is made, the history of Hershey's chocolate. Our kids love it. Everybody loves it. Everyone who goes to Hershey, Jerry, does this. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the exhibit, after you get off your self-guided car and walk up the steps to go back to the giant Hershey's candy store, there's somebody there who hands you a complimentary chocolate bar. And the last few times that we've gone, the person has been a boy with Down syndrome. And he hands everybody a candy bar. And it's a job that a kid with Down syndrome can do. And he does it without a hitch. And I'll always say something like, "Well, thank you, sir." And he sort of nods, and then the next person. And I saw a mom who looked at him and said, "Thank you very much," very kindly to him. And what inspired me about this was that I thought, well, probably 100% of the people who walk through that line happily accept a candy bar from that Down syndrome kid. Definitely about 80 to 90% of women in America who receive a prenatal identification of a Down syndrome child choose to abort that child. And that's really sad. And what those children are at Hershey is they're a testimony to the beauty of human life. And that child might not be perfect from an intelligence point of view, but that child is made in the image of God, the Imago Dei, right? He's a child of God. He has sanctity and dignity. And just because the child isn't gonna have a 1300 SAT score and go to an Ivy League college doesn't make his life any less worthwhile. But unfortunately, that's how a lot of the West today views Down syndrome, which is why countries like Iceland are seeking to eliminate it in the womb before the child is even born.
You know, it's funny. I know of somebody within our church where the child has Down syndrome, and he's been able to work at Chick-fil-A for several years now, and really is very appreciative of it. You said in your article that a lot of the people with Down syndrome are basically happy people.
They are. They really are. In fact, anybody who has a child with Down syndrome or knows a child with Down syndrome well, they're probably nodding right now as they're listening to our conversation. I mean, these kids, these young adults, they're among the happiest people on the planet. In fact, you know, they don't struggle with a lot of the moods and anxiety disorders and complexities, and you know, they don't get depressed when they're 18, 19 years old over what their future is going to be, over you know, whether or not this boy or girl likes them. They don't have these high suicide rates that we're seeing among so many people and young people of higher intelligence. They're among the happiest people that you could possibly meet. And I quote in my article a health official from Iceland who said this: we don't look at this as a murder. We don't look at abortion as a murder. We look at it, meaning the child with Down syndrome in the womb, we look at it as a thing we ended. We ended a possible life that may have had a huge complication, preventing suffering for the child and the family, unquote. Well, I got news for you. Most of these kids don't consider themselves suffering. They consider themselves pretty happy.
Wow.
You know, and you know, they don't consider themselves suffering with a huge complication. And also, too, a lot of these families, they struggle with these kids and what they have to do, how they have to deal with them and so forth. But they also have major problems that they struggle with kids of much higher intelligence. This is going to sound cruel, Jerry, but I'm going to say it. You know, there are people who treat their dogs like human beings, and their dog is a heck of a lot less intelligent than a child with Down syndrome, and they never kill their dog. So to look at these people as, oh, you poor suffering child, how awful your existence is, they don't look at it that way. They don't see it that way at all.
Wow. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. In your piece, you quoted Ronald Reagan, who in turn quoted New York's Terence Cardinal Cook. I guess he was the late Cardinal Cook by that time. But
right.
here's the actual quote from the Cardinal that Reagan liked so much. Quote, "The gift of life, God's special gift, is no less beautiful when it is accompanied by illness or weakness, hunger or poverty, mental or physical handicaps, loneliness or old age. Indeed, at these times, human life gains extra splendor as it requires our special care, concern, and reverence. It is in and through the weakest of human vessels that the Lord continues to reveal the power of his love." End quote. Your comments.
Yeah, it's so true. And I sent that quote to a former student of mine named Jeff, who I had tracked him down, or he tracked me down. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Good. I've got three kids. You know, the youngest, her name is Addie." He says, "She has Down syndrome." And I sent him this quote, and he said, "Oh, that's so true." And he told me, Jerry, he said, "She is the light of our life."
Oh, wow.
She is such a joy around the house. I visited his house about 3 years ago, and I noticed that everything was meticulous, tidy, all tidied up. The way they run a very tight ship there, because they can't leave out knives and other things that are fire hazards. So there were things, precautions that they had to take. But, you know, you wouldn't leave out a loaded gun for your, you know, a 19-year-old child who's thinking about suicide either, you know? So there's problems that they have, but they figured out how to adjust to it. And they love her. She's the light of their life.
That is really interesting. Okay, we have less than a minute to go. What do you want to say in conclusion? I think there's a real battle of worldviews here, you know, in terms of, you know, what is life in the first place?
Well, I would urge people to read this article and also read the quote from Margaret Sanger. And I quote her from her 1922 book, saying that every feeble-minded girl or woman of the moron class, she called them the moron class, Jerry, should be segregated during the reproductive period. Otherwise, she's certain to bear imbecile children, who in turn are just as certain to breed other defectives. That was Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. That is not the right view of human life.
Wow.
The view of Reagan and Cardinal Cook and of Christians, of seeing all human beings as made in the image of God, that's the proper view, not to look at people as morons and imbeciles. Unfortunately, what Margaret Sanger envisioned for America, her moron class, you want to see Margaret Sanger's dream? It's Iceland, where they're aborting and killing all these children in the womb.
Mm. Dr. Paul
the
Kanger.
Dark vision.
Yeah, Dr. Paul Kanger, visionandvalues.com for more information. Thank you, Paul. God bless you.
Okay, thanks, Jerry.